Cats Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and in this hour, comedy. Later on from the Bob Hope Show with guest Bing Crosby, among others. But first, it's a broadcast of Abbott and Costello. This first heard on ABC on August 11th, 1948.
Time for the Abbott and Costello Show. We're on the air for ABC here in Hollywood.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go with the Abbott and Costello Show. It's the Abbott and Costello Show, produced and transcribed in Hollywood for your listening pleasure with Susan Miller and Matty Malig's orchestra. So hold on to your chairs, folks, for here they are, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Will you stop that yelling? What is all that adhesive tape on your face for?
I took Susan Miller to my neighborhood theater to see The Razor's Edge. I sat so close to the screen that Tyrone Power shaved me 5 times.
Your neighborhood theater is just showing that old picture now?
What do you expect for 3 cents? Oh, it was a swell picture, though. It all takes place in a barbershop run by a rough guy named Dan.
Dan?
Yeah, Dan Drupp. Tyrone Power, a sharp young blade, who's keen about Gene Tierney. Every time he scissors, he works himself into a lather. But she drops him. She gives him the brush. It's no soap. And the rub comes in the end where he whiskers her away. And the moral of the story is no brush, no lather, no rubbing, no girl, no nothing, no joke, no money.
You idiot. You never saw the picture. And furthermore, I'll bet when you went to school, you were a dumbbell. Oh,
yeah.
A dumb scout.
That's all. I'll have you know that I was a head and shoulders above everybody in my class.
You were?
Yes, I was 15 years older than any one of them.
I would like to see you in school, Lou.
I was teacher's pet.
Teacher's pet?
Yes, we both got expelled the same day.
Right. Oh, get him up. Oh, they're hot tonight. So don't go away. Abbott and Costello will be back after just the time it takes to tell this. Who's that girl I saw you talking with?
Huh?
Who's that girl I saw you talking with?
That girl was my school day sweetheart. Her and I used to hook rides on the ice wagon together. Every day we'd ride 7 miles to school sitting on a big cake of ice.
You rode 7 miles sitting on a cake of ice?
Yeah, we were the original dead end kids.
I'll forget about her. By the way, where did you get that bump on your nose?
Well, Monday night I went over to Susan Miller's house and I brought her a package of bubblegum. We sat on the sofa and I had my arm around her and she was chewing a bubblegum.
But how did you get the bump on your nose?
How did I get the bump on my nose? Just as I leaned over to kiss her, she had a blowout.
That must have gummed up your evening.
Not only that, but I may have to have my nose vulcanized.
You talk sense. What happened?
Susan dropped her bubblegum on the sofa and I sat in it. Brother, is that stuff sticky?
Did it damage your clothes?
No, but now I've got the only pair of pants in Hollywood with slip covers.
Now, stop this silliness. You'd better be on your good behavior from now on because Susan Miller is moving into our boarding house today. She's taking the room directly above you, Lou.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah?
Me in room 115 and Susan in 215. Abbott, will Susan be in that room all the time?
Well, you know Susan. She goes in and out.
Have you noticed that too, Abbott?
Well, anyway, Abbott, you know what I say? I say that,
You better say something.
I say that I'm all set for it. Oh, this is wonderful. The woman I love living right upstairs.
Oh, stop, Costello. You're not in love with Susan.
She's just a passing fancy.
Abbott, I wouldn't pass up anything that fancy. Gee, but I hope she likes her room.
Oh, she should like it. She gets bored with it.
I'm glad to hear that, too, because after all... What did you say?
I said she should be happy. She gets bored with the room.
If she gets bored with the room, then why did she rent it in the first place?
She's not bored with the room. She's very happy.
You just told me that she gets bored with the room.
That's right.
One of us is nuts. How can a girl be happy when she's bored all the time?
Look, she's not bored all the time. You know, she only gets bored 3 times a day.
Where is she getting all that lumber?
I'm not talking about lumber. I'm talking about boards. Susan eats her boards.
Who feeds her all these boards?
The landlady. Susan made arrangements with the landlady to eat her board 3 times a day. 30 days a month.
I'm moving out of that place.
Why?
That Susan Miller is going to eat me out of house and home.
Yes, and I'm just trying to tell you that Susan is very happy with her board and she likes her room. That room hasn't got a floor in it.
There's a cute kid. Just rented the room today already. She ate the floor.
She did not eat the floor. I simply said there was no floor in the room.
You could be mistaken, you know. Anybody that will eat boards 3 times a day is liable to eat the floor and the doors and the windows.
Look, what are you getting so excited about? What business is it of yours what she does with her room?
I'll make it my business, brother. Her floor happens to be my ceiling. I don't mind you knocking the pots from under me every week, but I ain't going to let that Susan Miller eat the roof over my head.
Costello, you annoy me. All I said was there is not a floor in Susan's room.
Just a second, Abbott. Have you been to Susan's room?
I have.
You opened up the door?
Yes.
You stepped into the room?
I did.
What did you step on?
The floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man has deliberately and with molasses aforethought been misinforming the public. I rest my case.
All right, Costello, there's no sense in getting yourself into a frenzy.
A what?
Frenzy.
I ain't make a frenzy with nobody.
Now, wait a minute. I'll try to explain by giving you an example. You have a floor in your room. The plaster is all cracked, so you have a floor in your ceiling.
I got a floor in my ceiling? How do you like that? I've been living upside down for 6 years and didn't know it.
Costello, you're all mixed up. I'm trying to tell you that Susan's room is perfect. It has no floor, and she's happy because she gets bored with the room.
Here we go again.
The reason why she likes to get bored with the room is because she's hungry after a hard day at the studio and rushes home and eats like a beaver.
Now he's got her eating beaver board.
Costello, I don't know why I get into these arguments with you. We argue and fight, and it always ends up the same way. You're just plain stupid.
I am not. I'm pretty smart.
Costello, if you're smart, I'm a monkey's uncle.
Well, I am smart. Now let me see you hang by your tail.
Mr. Costello.
Yes. Oh, he's back again. Every week the same thing. Look, Norman, why don't you go out here and get yourself a job?
Oh, I've got a job, Mr. Costello. You see, I work in a domino factory. I put the dots on the dominoes.
Why ain't you working now?
This week we're making blanks. That's exactly what your check's gonna look like.
Well, enough of this nonsense, Costello. Have you been studying your script for the new scenes in our new picture, The New Shanghai?
Well, I meant to tell you, Abbott, they're changing the script again. And the director's coming over here tonight to rehearse me in the new scene.
Ah, there you are, Costello. I've got the script here for the retakes on The Noose Hangs High. Now, you're going to run through it right now. In this scene, you'll play opposite the gorgeous, glamorous Lauren Bacall.
Stand by, folks. There's good news tonight.
So you like Lauren Bacall, eh?
Like her. There's that girl that has got this and that and them and those, and if you want anything else, just whistle.
Very good. I'm glad you like her, Costello, because in this scene, you and Lauren Bacall are seated in a canoe, drifting lazily down the stream. She's sitting in the bow, and you're sitting in the stern.
She's in the bow, and I'm in the stern.
That's right.
You couldn't make that a rowboat and get both of us in the back seat.
Quiet, Costello. Now, as you sit there in the stern of the canoe, paddling along, she looks at you, and her eyes seem to say, "Come to me, Costello. Come to me, my love."
Is that what her eyes say?
Yes.
Then why don't I drop that darn paddle and come to her?
No, Costello, you ignore her. You keep paddling. You need the exercise.
Yeah, but I need the exercise, but this could lead to ulcers.
You're playing hard to get. After all, you're a city slicker.
City slicker? I'm a village idiot. That's what I am.
Quiet, Costello, please, and pay attention to the director.
Now then, Costello, a strange feeling commences to creep over you. You're seated in that canoe all alone with Lauren Bacall. You get a feeling that you can't sit still for another minute. A feeling that you must rise to your feet.
It's those cane bottom canoe seats. They'll do it every time.
The seats have nothing to do with
it. Of course not. Now, Costello, you look forward at gorgeous Lauren Bacall. You look forward, and there she is in all her tempting glory. You can't stand the suspense any longer. Slowly, you begin to inch your way forward, inch by inch.
Inch by inch?
Foot by foot.
Foot by foot?
Yard by yard.
Get me up there, will you? I've only got this boat rented for an hour.
Oh, it's impossible, Mr. Rabbit. I can't rehearse with this man. He's too nervous. He should see a doctor about his nerves.
You should see a doctor about your face.
What's the matter with my face?
It talks too much.
Hurry up, Costello. We're on in just a second.
That's right, Abbott, but here's a small place to show off Susan Miller. Let's get her to sing a song.
Okay, Costello. Ladies and gentlemen, here's our singing star, Susan Miller, with the music of Matty Malnick.
Picture me upon your knee with teeth for two and tooth for two. Can't you see how happy we will be? Nobody near us to see us, to hear us, no friends or relations. On weekend vacation, we won't tell a soul that we on a telephone. Day will break and I'll awake and start to bake a sugar cake for you to take for all the boys to see. We will raise a family, a girl.
I park the canoe. I look up at Lauren Bacall and say,
the calla lilies are in bloom again. I love the calla lilies. Yes, Father. Yes, Mother. The calla lilies are in bloom again.
Costello, what are you doing?
Rehearsing a scene for the picture. I'm acting. What an actor I am, Abbott. If my mother hadn't cut off my curls when I was little, I'd have been another Shirley Temple.
Well, you got all this story acting.
And you don't need to worry anymore about the picture. They're not going to change it. However, I have some news for you, Lou, but I really don't know how to tell you this, Costello. But your country has called you.
You mean I've been drafted again?
No, you dummy. You're about to receive a great honor. Listen to this telegram that just came for you. It's from Mayor DeVita of Paterson, New Jersey. Dear Lou, you have been chosen to represent Paterson, New Jersey, at the next meeting of the UNO.
I have?
Yes. You've heard of the UNO, haven't you?
Oh, I hear about it every time I try to make a date with a girl.
What do you mean?
Every time I ask a girl for a date, she looks at me and says, you? And no.
You know, the UNO is an organization of all the nations of the world. Costello, a great honor has been conferred on you. You will serve your country as a diplomat. You will be a statesman, an official of the government, a man who mingles with royalty.
I'm going to be all that?
That's right.
Abbott? You may kiss my hand.
Oh. Nope. I don't know why the mayor of Paterson ever chose you.
Hey, Uncle Bud, I just saw a messenger boy just leave here. Was that telegram for me?
No, Norm, it wasn't for you. It was for Costello. A great honor has fallen on Costello. He has been chosen Paterson's delegate to the UNO.
That's right, Norman. I'm going back there and spread goodwill.
Well, you certainly got the spread for it.
Now, Norman, you'll have to treat Costello with more respect from now on. Remember, he's going to be a diplomat.
Jokes with gestures.
just wait till I get to Europe. They need me over there. That continent has gone back to the horse and buggy days. I'm the only guy that can fix it.
Horse and buggy days? What are you talking about?
Well, somebody is horsing around over there and driving a whole world buggy.
But I don't know why they picked Costello as diplomat. I'm the boy for the job. Why, everybody says I look just like Anthony Eden.
You look more like Heaven Eden.
Costello's right, Norman. You could stand some weight. If you gained a little weight, you wouldn't be so lazy.
Well, Uncle Bud, I'm just full of energy. Can I help it if I haven't got the strength to use it?
Norman, we should be proud of Costello. He's going back to Patterson to mix with all the masters of diplomacy.
Yes, I'm going to be a mixed master.
I'll show them guys how to stir up things.
Well, am I interrupting anything, boy?
Quiet. It's our singing star, Susan Miller. Susan, have you heard the news? Costello is to be Patterson's delegate to the UNO.
Oh, Costello. What a diplomat you'll make. You're so robust, so manly, so muscular. Muscular.
Susan, I'm Atlas, Hercules, Samson and Joe Louis and Gorgeous George all rolled into one.
You are?
And it's awful crowded, too.
Oh, I'm so proud of you, Costello. I'm going to give you a kiss. A gift for good luck. Now, put your arms around me. There. That's it.
Gee, Susan, when I get close to you like this, something inside me seems to melt.
It does?
I've got to quit carrying that butter around in my money belt.
Well, come on, Costello. I've made arrangements with the finest tailor in town to outfit for your trip to the UNO beach.
Well, I'll see you later, Costello. And as they say in Spanish, mañana o ama. Suez to you.
And your mama's old army shoes to you, too.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir. Costello, this is the tailor, Mr. Sharkskin. Are you ready to measure Costello?
Why, yes, it'll be a pleasure to make a suit for him. What a bill. What broad shoulders. Narrow hips and long, tapering legs.
This is me over here. You're measuring the water cooler.
Mr. Sharkskin, this is Costello. He's the man that's having the fit.
Really? Does he always swell up like that?
Sharkskin, one more crack like that over you, and I'll cut you on the bias and pull down your hems.
Mr. Sharkskin, do you have anything that'll fit Costello?
I think so. Here, Mr. Costello, slip into this coat. That's it. There. How's that?
Now, ain't that coat a little long? I can't see my shoes.
Oh, dear. Do you plan on wearing shoes?
Don't be so fussy, Costello. What that coat needs is a little more padding in the shoulders, that's all.
A little more. You'd better take some of the padding out. Every time I raise my arm, the shoulders push my hat off.
Costello, you won't be able to wear those pink socks with that outfit.
Those are not pink socks. My shorts drag a little.
All right, Mr. Sharkskin. Make the necessary alterations and send the suit to Costello's house.
Fine. Good day, gentlemen.
Costello, you're leaving for Patterson tonight, and we've got a lot of things to do.
What, for instance?
Well, Costello, you'll meet all kinds of nationalities at that UNO meeting, and you'll have to converse with all of them.
That won't be hard for me, Abbott. I even speak Chinese.
Let me hear you say something in Chinese.
Okay. Feature starts at 1 o'clock, smoking in the balcony, prices change at 6.
What kind of Chinese is that?
Grauman's Chinese.
You simpleton. French is the diplomatic language, and you've got to learn it. I'm taking you to Madame Fifi's French language school.
And now, Monsieur Costello, when you arrive at the meeting, the French delegate, he will bid you welcome, and he will say, oh, bonjour, monsieur. Que je suis enchanté de faire votre connaissance, parce que vous êtes le plus bel homme du monde. And then the delegate, he will kiss you like this.
Do you mind?
drink now if I can have my own script back?
Thank you. You walk in here, you don't even shut the door.
Madam Fifi, you will have to forgive me. I have a very, very poor memory. Would you mind running through that again a little slower?
Why, not at all, monsieur. The French delegate, he will bid you welcome. Like this. Now, pay attention, monsieur. He will bid you welcome like this. And he will say to you, ah, oh, monsieur, que je suis en train de faire votre connaissance parce que vous êtes le plus bel homme du monde. You see, and then he will kiss you like this.
I'm doing all the work. He's sweating. Do me a favor, will you?
What?
Run over and pick up my suit. I may have to stay after school. I think I need more lessons.
You know, if you stay here and take another lesson, you may miss the plane.
Yeah, but if I take another lesson, I won't need the plane. I'll fly to Patterson by myself.
Come, Madam Fifi, let us study.
Well, Costello, we're all packed to remember. You're an important delegate to the UNO. And it's one of the requirements of a delegate to know all about history. I know all about history, Abbott.
You do. I'll bet you don't even know who George Washington married.
George Washington married Salome.
Yeah, dummy. Washington and Salome lived thousands of years apart.
What's the difference as long as they loved each other?
Talk sense. Now, Costello. Now, in diplomatic circles, they give a lot of banquets. And you've got to watch your table manners. Now, if you're not sure what fork to use, wait until the hostess has picked up her fork, and then you use the same one.
Nothing doing, Abbott. I tried that once. I waited to use the same fork the hostess used, and by the time she got through with it, there was no more food left on the table.
You tell me I'm talking about the silverware they use at a banquet. Oh. As a rule, there are several different types of forks set aside beside your plate.
Naturally. You're telling me. I went to a banquet once, and there was 15 knives, forks, and spoons set aside beside each plate. What beautiful silverware.
I'd like to have seen it.
Remind me to show it to you sometime.
Never mind that. Now, when you get to the meeting and you are introduced to the other delegates' wives, remember to curtsy.
Remember to what?
Curtsy, like this.
That's a curtsy?
Yes.
I couldn't curtsy. I've got too much starchy in my shirty.
I knew what. Oh, I give up. Come on. Our plane leaves for Patterson in a few minutes. Now, we've got to get to the airport. You're going to be at the UNO meeting. Come on.
The UNO convention will now come to order. Gentlemen, this is a great year for the UNO, the Undertaker's National Organization. Secretary Toombs, are all the bodies, are all the members present? All but the stiff, but he's due here any minute.
Delegate from Patterson, huh?
Greetings and salutations, gentlemen. I'm Patterson's delegate to the UNO, and it's mighty quiet in here. Let's get the joint jumping.
Just pull up a slab and sit down. Brother Graves, dig that boy. A lovely thought, Brother Toombs. A lovely thought.
Just a minute. Is this the peace conference?
Yes, my boy. We have peace here. As a matter of fact, that's the slogan of our organization. Rest in peace. And now, Mr. Toombs, place a lily in Mr. Costello's lapel, and let's get on with the meeting.
Just a second. There must be some mistake. I was looking for the UNO.
There is no mistake. This is the UNO, the Undertaker's National Convention. Is there anything else you wish to say?
Yes, just two words.
What are they?
And that's not quite all, folks. Stick around a minute, and the boys will be back for a curtain call.
Plan to join us when the Star Theater, featuring Gordon McRae, Evelyn Knight, Victor Young's orchestra, and the Jeff Alexander Chorus, is heard every Wednesday night, and that means tonight over most of these same ABC stations. And now back for a final word from ABC's Abbott and Costello Show.
Costello, it's too bad that we made that trip all the way back to Patterson for nothing.
Oh, that's all right, Abbott. I'll get it, Abbott. Hello. Oh, hello. Uncle Mike? What? Aunt May? Congratulations. At 7 o'clock tonight? Where did it happen? Right on Maplewood Avenue? My. How many? 3? Well, hold everything. I'll be right there. Goodbye.
Costello, what happened?
My Aunt May just found a 3-room apartment on Maplewood Avenue.
Oh, good night.
Listen each Wednesday night at this time for another great Abbott and Costello Show, produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Charles Banda and featuring Susan Miller and Matty Malnick and his orchestra. So, goodbye until this same time next Wednesday. Be sure to stay tuned for the outstanding entertainment which follows throughout the evening on this ABC station. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
The Abbott and Costello Show, on tuned to yesterday from the 11th of August, 1948 on ABC. You're listening to an hour of comedy, on tuned to yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for an episode of The Bob Hope Show with guests Bing Crosby and singer Marilyn Maxwell, and later in the broadcast, Charles Farrell, who at the time was starring in the TV sitcom My Little Margie as Vern, a role he would bring to the radio adaptation in 1954 and 55. This episode first aired on March 11, 1952 on NBC.
The Bob Hope Show. And now, here is Bob Hope.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I love it here. I've got a little vine-covered cottage here in Palm Springs. I just had a kidney-shaped swimming pool put in, and I haven't been able to find any kidney-shaped people. But anything can happen down here. One of the popular things here in Palm Springs are those sunrise breakfast rides. My horse was so swayback, we left 6 footprints as we went along. Palm Springs is now the swankiest resort in California. And to think it all started with 2 gophers and Charlie Farrell. And it never rains here. Of course, an occasional meteorological phenomenon occurs, which the Chamber of Commerce refers to as a free fill for your swimming pool. A lot of the Hollywood stars have homes here. Crosby still hasn't decided. He doesn't know whether to move to Palm Springs or buy it. And they have a beautiful new golf course down here, nothing but green as far as the eye can see. Looks like Godfrey's mattress when he pulls the sheet back. After one shot, I said to my caddy, Johnny Woods, I said, how do you like the way my hips follow through? He said, swell. Now, what do you want me to find, your golf ball or your girdle? And I played with Bing today, and it's a lot easier for me to keep up with him going around the course this year. He's added a sidecar to his wheelchair. And I've also played with Sinatra. He's the best number 3 iron I ever used. Sinatra played in the tournament the other day, but he finally gave up. He was wearing a red bow tie, and the caddies kept sticking him in the hole. Here's a lovely bond of stage, screen, and Air Force, Miss Marilyn Maxwell.
Love, because I feel so well. No sobs, no sorrows, no sighs. This can't be love. I get no dizzy spell. My head is not in the sky. My heart does not stand still. Just hear it beat. This is too sweet to be. This can't be love, because I feel so well, and still I love to look in your eyes. My heart does not stand still, just hear it beat. This is too sweet to be love. This can't be love, because I feel so well, and still I love. Look in your eyes, they hypnotize. This can't be love.
Ladies and gentlemen, whenever our broadcast originates in Palm Springs, the rehearsal for the show is usually held around the swimming pool at Bob Hope's house here. As a matter of fact, that's where Bob is right now, waiting for his guest, Marilyn Maxwell, who is expected any minute.
Oh, Bob! Yoo-hoo, Bob!
Well, Miss Marilyn Maxwell. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Bob.
Well, you're right on time. Did you have any trouble finding the place?
Oh, no. Your house isn't hard to find.
Like many of the homes down here, it has a Spanish name.
Really? What is it?
Well, it's El Rancho de Casa Hopa Mucho Dinero El Poco Trabajo del Rio.
What does that mean?
It's not paid for yet.
Oh, that's cute. Gee, that pool looks inviting. Do you mind if I slip into my bathing suit?
What? You said what?
I said... I said, do you mind if I slip into my bathing suit?
Would I mind being president? But, Marilyn, I asked you down here because we usually rehearse the radio show here at the house.
Well, I hope we can have plenty of rehearsal, Bob. This is my first appearance in Palm Springs with you, and, well, I'm kind of nervous about it.
Don't you worry about a thing, Marilyn.
Well, I want to do everything I can to make it a good show. I know how much time and effort goes into preparing one of your broadcasts.
Oh, that's true. All week long, the writers have been polishing the script. Our technical crew has been working day and night to ensure the finest transmission and reception. Our producer has worked many hours casting and assembling all the elements necessary. I might say that hundreds of people have been working to make sure we have a fine broadcast. I've even done my part.
Well, what did you do?
I plucked my eyebrows last night.
Say, Bob, there's someone coming through your front gate.
There is. Oh, yeah, well, it's Charlie Farrell. No, the mayor. How are you, Mayor Farrell?
I'm fine, Bob. Heard you were here, so I thought I'd stop over and extend official greetings on behalf of the beautiful city of Palm Springs. Garden spot of the desert, where the sun always shines. The people are healthy, and we can grow anything.
Charlie, this is Marilyn Maxwell.
Well, why don't we grow something like that?
Steady, Charlie.
Very happy to meet you, Miss Maxwell.
Nice meeting you, Mr. Farrell.
Hope you're enjoying Palm Springs, Miss Maxwell.
Oh, I am. It's such a wonderful place to relax.
That's right. Everything is casual down here. For instance, the clothes. Almost everybody wears shorts here.
Oh, I know. On the way in, I even saw Frank Sinatra wearing a pair.
No, Marilyn, Sinatra doesn't wear regular shorts. He has to buy lamb chop panties. You know something? They look better on the lamb chops.
Miss Maxwell, while you're down here, I'd like to have you pay us a visit over at the Racquet Club.
I'd like to go, Bob, if you'll take me.
I would, but I can't, Marilyn. You see, I'm temporarily barred from the Racquet Club.
Yes, he's in disgrace over there.
Oh, my heavens, Bob, what did you do?
Well, I asked someone to pass me my sweatshirt.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, the racket club is pretty ritzy, and over there a sweatshirt is called a perspiration pullover.
Bob's only kidding, Marilyn. He's welcome over there anytime. Say, Bob, may I use your phone a moment? I have to call the club.
Certainly. Here's a slope. Truth of the matter is, Marilyn, I'm very popular here at the Springs.
I thought so.
Well, take the situation with the two new golf courses down here, Tamarisk and Thunderbird. Ben Hogan, the pro at Tamarisk, wants me there, and Jimmy Hines and Johnny Dawson want me at Thunderbird, and George Howard wants me at O'Donnell. It's a terrible situation.
Why? Are they short of caddies?
Short of caddies? Where are you from, Britain, old girl?
Don't you think we better start rehearsing the show?
Anybody home here?
Oh, well. Oh, well.
Who's that, Bob?
What's that? What'd you say?
Who's that, Bob?
Well, I thought it was a mountain blocking out the sun, but it's Bing Crosby. Come on in, Bing.
Hope I'm not interrupting anything.
No,
oh, well.
No. Well, I was counting the house there. Did you see that?
Halfway up the aisle.
You're not interrupting anything. I was just taking a sunbath.
Yes, I know. On the way in, I could hear the fat frying.
Look who's talking. This guy can't go into television until they invent a 52-inch screen.
Well, Bob...
Hey.
Bob.
Bob, who's the lovely slow leak over there? You hoarding something?
Excuse me, this is Marilyn Maxwell. Marilyn, this is Bing Crosby, the father of our country.
How do you do, Marilyn?
Pleased to meet you, Bing.
You know, my dear, this is an unexpected pleasure. I've seen you in your movies, and I've been dazzled by your pictures in the various magazines. And I'm happy to see that you're just as lovely in person as I thought you'd be.
Why, thank you.
Don't get carried away, Marilyn. That's the same line he used on Theda Bara.
That was on Betty Blythe. Back off now, Snooper Stoot. Marilyn, what do you think of our bulbous friend here?
Oh, I don't want to get into this. I pass.
Well, I've had my say. I pass, too.
What is this, a poker game?
Mm-hmm. That's right, and you got the pot.
The pot?
Yes, loaded.
Boy, that strange talk coming from a man whose last physical activity was trying out for the Olympic crocheting team.
That's falsehood, sheer, unmitigated falsehood.
Look, don't you two boys think that you want...
Thanks for the use of the phone, Bob. I'll be, well, Bing.
Charlie Farrell, star of stage, screen, and the racket club.
Well, welcome to Palm Springs, Bing. Garden spot of the desert.
Thank you, Mayor.
What are you doing here at Bob's house?
Oh, Charlie, no trip to any city is complete without a visit to the slums. You just...
Ooh, I'd like to kill him, but the government needs the money.
You two haven't changed a bit. Well, I've got to be running along. Now, why don't you all drop over to the racket club tonight? We're showing a movie.
Oh, I'd love it. What are you showing?
Seventh Heaven.
What else? Seventh Heaven? Charlie, you show that every night in the week.
Yeah, but tonight I'm running it backwards.
Why?
That way I keep getting younger.
So long, Charlie.
Goodbye, Chas. He's a delightful old codger, the mayor, isn't he?
Don't you talk to me, Harry Lillis Crosby.
What? What's the matter?
The idea of you referring to this place as a slum in front of Charlie Farrell. You sure know how to spoil my day, don't you?
Well, I do the best I can.
Marilyn and I were enjoying ourselves, then you come along with your big mouth. There's only one other thing you could do to ruin my day.
What's that?
Thing, Bing.
Isn't that a cute lead in?
Anytime you're feeling lonely, anytime you're feeling blue, anytime that that you feel downhearted. That's gonna prove your love for me is true. Anytime you're thinking about me, that's the time I'll be thinking of you. So anytime you say that you want me back again, that's the time I'll come back home to you. Anytime you're thinking about me, that's the time I'll be thinking of you. So anytime you say that you want me back again, that's the time I'll come back home to you. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
Now let's get back to Bob's house and see how he's making out with Bing and Marilyn Maxwell.
Look, Bing, Marilyn's my guest. If she plays golf with anybody, it's going to be me.
Bob, you don't seem to understand. I have an invitation for myself and one guest to play at Tamarisk. I've asked her and she's accepted, right, Marilyn?
Well, I would like to try the new course.
Well, I'm coming along. I don't need an invitation.
They won't let you in, boy.
Bob, I have a wonderful idea. Why don't you and Bing go and play golf, and I'll stay here.
What, me play golf with him? It's not easy, you know. You have to carry him from one hole to the next piggyback.
Hush, hush. Marilyn, shall we then?
Well, all right.
Me too?
Bob, look, we're getting up close to the gate now. Why don't you turn back? Save yourself a lot of embarrassment.
Don't worry. When they see who I am, they'll let me in.
Just a minute, folks. Are you expected?
Yes, I'm Bing Crosby.
Oh, yes, Mr. Crosby. I have a pass here for you and a guest.
Miss Maxwell and I are together.
Well, go right in. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid her mother will have to wait out here.
Mother? Look, knucklehead, I love that. You know who you're talking to? I'm Bob Hope.
Don't try to play on my sympathy.
Well, couldn't you just stretch a point and let Mr. Hope come in with us?
Sure, everybody knows me.
Look, Mr. Hope, it isn't my idea to keep you out. I'm just acting on orders. I do what I'm told. Believe me, if it was up to me personally...
Yes?
I'd throw you out in your ear.
Well, I told you this was going to happen, Bob.
Well, let me in there. I'm going to talk to Ben Hogan.
Please, sir, try to understand.
Oh, this is ridiculous. I can go over to the Thunderbird golf course and play any time I want.
Oh, no, you can't.
Why not?
We have a mutual defense pact.
Well, Marilyn, shall we go in then? Ta-ta, Roberto.
Well, I'm coming with you. I don't care what this guy says.
Oh, no, you're not.
Get out of my way.
Mr. Hope, if you persist in carrying on like this, I'll have to call the police and have you thrown in jail.
Throw me in jail? Are you kidding? I play the police show here every year. That's a laugh. Ha ha, throw me in jail. Let me out of here. Let me out of here. Where's the police chief?
Here I am, Bob.
Chief, get me out of here.
Now, take it easy, Bob. You're lucky you didn't land in this jail a long time ago.
What do you mean?
One of my men saw you last Saturday night.
Well, what'd I do?
You were sitting on a stool with a bucket milking a parking meter.
Well, I didn't use up my nickel, and I was trying to get a refund. Hey, now look, Chief, how about getting me out of here, will you?
Well, Bob,
Bob, I heard you in jail, and as mayor, I thought I should rush right over.
Oh, good, you can get me out.
Get out? Are you crazy? You're in jail in Palm Springs, garden spot of the desert. Well, this is the finest, most modern jail in the country.
Oh, please, Charlie.
Well, as a matter of fact, Bob, this is the only jail that's approved by the Automobile Club.
Fine. Now, how about springing me?
Sorry, that's Chief's department, and I never interfere. So long, Bob.
Fine, Mayor. Come on, Chief. What do you say? Get me out of here.
Bob, maybe I better call your lawyer.
No, he couldn't come. He's in the hospital with two broken legs.
How'd that happen?
Well, he was going after a client, and the ambulance backed up unexpectedly.
Well, I'd like to get you out, Bob, but I've got this signed complaint against you for disturbing the peace.
Signed complaint? Let me see that. Who's it signed by? Harry Lillis Crosby. Why, that dirty rat, after all I've done for him.
After all you've done for him?
Certainly. I started that boy. I'll never forget that day. I was already a star, and I was sitting in my dressing room. Come in.
Excuse me, sir. Are you Bob Hope, the very famous movie star?
Slower, son. What can I do for you, boy?
Well, I was wondering if you'd like to buy some magazines. I'm working my way through college.
Oh, that's champion. I like to see industry. I like to see industry in a young man. Well, I'll take $100 worth of magazines. You'll find the money in the wastebasket.
Oh, thank you, sir. You're real sweet. Would you like to know the real reason I came to your dressing room?
Speak, boy.
Well, you're the funniest, most popular comedian in the United States.
Don't forget Canada and Mexico. And Banning. I'm very large around the borders.
Yes, I notice. I've heard that you're always willing to help young talent. You see, I want to be a singer.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me look at you. Not a bad-looking chap. Regular features, nice head of hair. You can tell how long ago this happened. Tell me, son, what's your name?
Harry Lillis Crosby.
Oh, no, that's all wrong. A performer's name is very important. It should immediately tell the public what the performer looks like.
Can you think of one, sir?
Wait a minute. I've got it. Just the name for you.
What is it?
Key Luke.
Say, I like it. You'll help me then, huh?
I don't know. First, I'd like to hear you sing.
Okay. When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me. Well, what do you think, Mr. Hope?
Let me see your feet.
My feet? Why?
Yeah, with that voice, you'll make a wonderful grape crusher. But I'll help you, my boy. That's how it happened, Chief. That week I got him a job. He was on his way. And now he signs a complaint against me, the ingrate.
Chief Catman, there's somebody out here to see you.
All right, Joe. Excuse me, Bob.
Hi, Gus.
You back, Bing?
Yeah, I came back, Gus, to tear up that complaint. I don't want Robert getting sore at me. We've been friends too long a time. I've done a lot for him, you know.
You've done a lot for him.
Why, certainly. I started that boy. I'll never forget that day. I was already a star, of course, and I was sitting in my dressing room. Entree.
French actor. Oh, excuse me, sir. Are you Bing Crosby?
Well, that's what's monogrammed on my money. What can I do for you, boy?
Well, I'm trying to get started as a comedian in show business, and people tell me you're willing to help new talent.
Have you had any experience?
Well, I had one job in Chicago.
As a comedian?
Well, sort of.
What do you mean?
I was master of ceremonies in the slaughterhouse.
You were what?
They used to hang me on a hook, and I'd keep the cows laughing right up to the last minute.
I thought I detected a little sawdust in your eyebrows. So, you're a comedian, eh?
Oh, yes, sir. People... I don't have that. Oh, yes, sir. People take one look at me and start laughing.
Well, I can understand that.
What do you mean?
My boy, Mother Nature has slipped you a Mickey right between the eyes. I'll tell you what you do, son. Give me a ring in a couple of weeks. I'll see what I can do about getting you a job.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Here, now, here.
Thank you.
Stop groveling at my feet. You're ruining the hand-painted roses on my shoes.
Golly, I'm grateful for this money, Mr. Crosby. Do you think you can get me a job, too?
Well, that depends. Have you got a routine?
Have I? Mm-hmm. Listen to this. This is Bob Santa Anita Hope. I just got back from the track, and what a day I had. I won't say how old the horse I bet on was, but they were betting it to win place and live. Of course, the horse might have won, but it had a bad accident. As soon as it came out of the starting gate, it tripped on the cord to its hearing aid. I finally went across the street to a bar, and the horse was there watching the race on television. I said, "What are you doing here?" She said, "This is the only way I'll ever get to see the finish of the race." Well, Mr. Crosby, what do you think?
Let me see your hands.
My hands? Why?
With jokes like that, you make a great chicken plucker.
Well, that was a fine trick you pulled, Bing, getting me thrown into jail.
Oh, Bob, it was just a harmless prank.
That's right, Bob. After all, Bing did get you out.
Well, let's forget the whole thing. Why don't the three of us go out tonight and have some laughs?
Oh, capital. That's a wizard idea. I would love it.
Well, I'm sorry, fellas. I'd love to go, too, but I have another date.
You what? You have another date? With who?
Yes. Who could possibly be more attractive, more charming, and better company than Robert and myself?
There's only one man.
Who is it? Welcome to Palm Springs, Garden Spot.
Oh, no!
The Bob Hope Show, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 11th of March, 1952 on NBC. Wrapping up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Lipponer. Thanks for tuning in.